certainly want to express my personal gratitude for the fellowship that this congregation has supplied me through the years, the support that has been sent my way for, I would say, literally decades, from being in Bellingham, Washington for 26 years. I labored up there, and a major part of that, this congregation helped to support me in that work, and now in Las Vegas as well. And I'm so grateful and thankful to you for that through the years. I understand those situations are shifting, and I understand that completely. I just want to express my personal thanks and gratitude to this church, to your elders, and each one of you for the support, the encouragement that you have given me through the years and continue to give me. I appreciate that so very much. Great to be with you today, and I hope that our study from God's Word will be useful. I invite you to get a Bible and join us as we study together. I particularly welcome visitors who may be among us this morning. We're grateful that you're here. Hope that we can be of encouragement to you and help to you in those things that are pertaining to God and eternity, of Jesus Christ and His will in our lives. And of course, the most important thing of that is that we're saved in Christ, is that we are in fact Christians. And so as this lesson is not particularly directed toward that, I also want to take time to always emphasize that the call of the gospel is to have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that with that faith, to be willing to confess it before men. And because of that faith, to repent toward God of the sins committed in our lives against Him. That is a change of heart that will produce changed living in harmony with God's will rather than in violation of it. And then to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. As the Bible teaches, something very different than what a lot of the churches of men teach. But God's Word is very clear. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. All we need to really do to be lost is just not believe. But if we want to be saved, we need a faith that is obedient, including being baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And we hope that that would be your interest and your desire and your aim this morning, if you are not a Christian. And then as Christians, to live faithfully to Him is our calling, to walk worthy of the gospel wherewith we've been called. So if we can help you accomplish those things in your life at the end of this lesson or the others throughout this week or at any time, day and night, we stand ready to assist you in that. And I look forward to doing whatever I can to be of service to you through the week. So please feel free to call upon me if I can be of service to you. And certainly I know that Tom and the elders and others here would be happy to be a part of that as well. Our study this morning is entitled, How Shall the... Let's turn it on, that'll help, right? How shall the old secure their hearts? Now, we sing a song, it's in the songbook. I don't know the number exactly, but how shall the young secure their hearts? You probably sung it here and are familiar with that. But we're going to emphasize those who are of age today. Now, when I started preaching this sermon, I was young. Now, as I told Tom and Terry this morning, now I is one. So now I'm among the older. And yet, young or old, I think there are lessons here, things to be observed and recognized that's going to help us. Help us if we're older to continue to be faithful to Jesus Christ. If we're young, to understand the value and importance of the aged and really some responsibilities that we have toward the aged if you are younger. You know, some of my... When I was a teenager and working at a grocery store and blessed to have my grandmother lived with us the last few years of her life. Those are some of the fondest memories, even to this day, of interacting with those who were older. those who had experienced life in so many different ways, and to learn from them and to appreciate them. And that's something that I hope that young people will recognize and benefit from in their own lives. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 19, if you would turn to that passage with me for just a moment, it's really a passage that speaks to our treatment of those who are older. Just to begin our thinking together and the teaching from God's Word on this matter, the law of Moses said, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord." Now, it's important to see that God wanted them to honor the gray-headed, honor the older person. He said, rise before the aged person. I remember as a child, if an older person came into the room, you got up and let them take your seat. I mean, that's what you did, because that's a sign of respect, of recognition. But I want you to see how God links that to fearing Him. In that very same verse, He said, "You rise, you give honor to the old man, and fear your God." When we fail to give respect and honor to those who are aged, we are not reverencing God as we ought. We are not remembering God, nor those who have lived years beyond ours on this earth. And so God expected Israel, in their reverence for Him, to give reverential or respect to those of age. Now, with that said, let's go to Psalm 92 and recognize that as we get older, we may develop an attitude, reactions, decisions in our lives that we've done our work, we've been active, and now it's somebody else's turn. You know, now let the younger generation take over, as it were, and let them. And obviously, we want those who are younger in Christ to be doing their part too. But this verse says that you're not finished if you're older. No, read the verse with me. He says in Psalm 92 and verse 12, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." Now, for those of us who are older, we get some of that imagery, because our bodies aren't so fresh. The skin gets dry pretty easy. You know, got to put lotion on and all that sort of thing. Bones start to kind of ache, don't they? And all of those things. But yet He said, though that the aged who are righteous are fresh. The idea there is they're full of oil, full of sap, not dried up, flourishing, nourished in those things that are from God and of God and the will of God. And they are active in bearing fruit in old age. That's what we want to key on this morning, brethren, and particularly for those who are of old age, that God says not only that we can bear fruit, He wants us to bear fruit. He expects us, as we are able and capable, to continue to see the vitality that we have even in old age. Not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, of our faith in Christ and of our doing of His will day by day. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 18, as we have on the chart, a familiar passage that speaks to this, the realization of aging, and yet the eyes of faith and the life that we live as long as we have life. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not become discouraged, downtrodden. We do not view life as a burden." He says, "No, even though our outward man is perishing, Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, Paul is referring to the persecutions for their faith. And that certainly is the affliction that he says is light in contrast to the overwhelming glory that awaits. But surely as we live in this fleshly tabernacle, there are the challenges as well of affliction that come. And in that context of affliction, he says, while we do not look at things that are seen, but things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. As we grow older and as we have persecution because of our faith, and as we have those things that come with us as we grow old, he says, we need to see them as temporary. They're not the end of the matter. And that's what we want to focus on particularly for a few moments here before we really start answering that question, how shall the old secure the heart? As we grow older, we have to deal with physical weakness and illness generally speaking, those who are younger do not confront. Right? I mean, this is just the reality of growing up. We're going to grow old. I know when you're a teenager and 20s and such, you don't think about that much. Not if you're in good health, at least. It's, you know, life's going to go on and on and on. The reality is, and we'll read in just a moment, the reality is, even in youth, we need to be thinking about the fact that life is brief, as James taught. Our life is like a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away. Life goes by so quickly, doesn't it? And those who are of age understand that point. I call it the toilet paper syndrome. You know what that is? The roll of toilet paper? The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. That's kind of what life is. That's how it feels, you know? It goes by so quickly. In Psalm 90, in verse 10, David said, the psalmist said, here it was actually Moses, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. He says, when it's all said and done, it's so quick, 70, 80 years, and it's just filled with work, it's filled with sorrow, and then we're gone. Now, if that's all there were to life and death, then we would truly be a miserable state. But you see, that's not the end of the matter. Death in this life certainly is not the end. And we'll talk more about that. You know, I looked it up again just to verify some of the notes that I had of the average lifespan of those in America. In the U.S. at least, in 2025, the average age is 78.4 years. So on that spectrum, I've got 10 years left if I'm average, right? How many of you as older people think about that? I imagine most of us, don't you? We think about that. How much more time is it? Now, it could be tomorrow. You see, that's the reality of life is brief and it's uncertain. I mean, whether you're 20 years or you're 80 years, you really don't know how much more time you have. And that's why we must be right with God every day of our life. Now, if you're a woman, your average lifespan is 81. You outlive the guys, they're 76. So, you know, going by those numbers, that's the average. The point is, and that's what Moses said. 70 years or by reason of strength, 80 years. You're in that time frame, in that range, that age range. And then, of course, we die. And we have to address that as people of age, and people who are young need to recognize it, as Moses went on to say, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And this is where the young person can learn in thinking about growing older, is that the reality is our bodies wear out. They run down and they eventually die. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, of course, that poetic description of these things. But he begins it by saying, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Actually, he's talking to young people there in verse 9 of chapter 11 and following. He said, rejoice in your youth, but remove sorrow from your heart. Don't choose things in your youth that's going to bring pain and anguish and sin. Remember your Creator now, while you're young, before the difficult days come and the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, as we grow older, unfortunately, sometimes the mindset begins to be, I just don't enjoy living anymore. He says, of course, that's not God's answer, but he says this is the reality of life under the sun, is it becomes more and more difficult in some very real ways. And one is, as the body doesn't do what it used to do for us, as it creeps certainly toward the inevitability of death. He says, you need to remember God while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, while there's life and vigor and refreshment in your life. Because in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, your hands or arms begin to tremble. The strong men bow down, perhaps discussing perhaps legs or our bones or our backs. The grinders cease because they are few. He's talking about our teeth. How many people, you get older, you get more conscious of the dentist, right? You're 20, 30 years old. I went to a dentist one time when in my 20s. He said, well, I think we can help you keep your teeth for a lifetime. And I just incredulously laughed, but now I understand what he's talking about. All right. Those that look through the windows grow dim. There's our eyes. The doors are shut in the street. The sound of the grinding is low. There's our chewing, our hearing. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, it's hard to stay in bed. And you wake up early, right? All the daughters of music are brought low. Our speech is not as strong as it once was. They are afraid of height. You know, I just don't need to go on some of those high roller coasters that I did when I was young. I don't need to do that. Don't need to jump out of an airplane. Why would you do that? Right? The terror is in the way, right? We see danger when the almond tree blossoms. There's the gray hair. Grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails, or activities diminish as we grow older. This is just the reality. Man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. So remember your Creator before the silver cord is broken, and the golden loosed, and the golden bowl is broken. The pitcher shattered at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the well. These are all imagery, figurative, speaking of death occurring, of life being cut off. Because then the dust will return to the dust from which it came, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And that is our interest, is that our spirit be right. Because this body, one of the realities is it gets weaker and it's going to die. And we have to come to terms with that. We have to come to terms with death. We come to terms with death by being right with God. Those who do not believe in God, those who are against the will of God in their lives, are in a most dangerous situation because of life's brevity and uncertainty. But now, there's something to note here before we go to the next point, and that is, because we are getting older, because we are old, that is not to become an overwhelming discouragement. This is not to be a moment to hang our head and feel sorry for ourselves. No, this is the natural pattern of life since the consequence of sin entered this world way back in Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve sinned, the body's going to return to dust. But we don't have to be overwhelmed by that. But you know, as we grow older, it becomes at times a time of increasing solitude. Sometimes you find yourself a stranger in the world. Tom and I were talking about computers, how they change in advance and they update and all that. And as older folks, we just like to know that when we turn it on, it comes on and it's right there the way we want it to be. And we don't have to learn a manual every 2 years to know how to operate the system. Right? Well, things change. You ever go back to your hometown and things are not really quite the same. I mean, you remember how it was, but it's different. It feels different. Things change. But as you grow older, you know, older folks, understandably, they battle such things as depression, loneliness, isolation, regrets. All of these are real things that as we grow older, we must face emotionally and spiritually in our lives, as well as the physical realities, the physical and fleshly realities. I think this is something, brethren, we need to be sensitive of toward older brethren, is to recognize that our older brethren face and deal with every day some things that as younger Christians we don't maybe give much thought to, but you know, the hectic, the day in, day out, go to work, go to take care of the family, you grow in all the part of life. But as we get older, some of those things now, we've done that, been there, done that, lived that, and now the isolation. And maybe a spouse has already passed, and now you have a widow or a widower whose life is completely changed by that loss. Growing old presents those things. And yet, at the same time, the Lord affirms that I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Those men and women of faith, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And so again, as older Christians, we need to keep our focus on the Lord rather than on ourselves and some of those realities that happen. And we need to help our older brethren as well to adjust and to deal with and to face such realities as life brings age, ultimately bringing death. And so it becomes a time of solemn reflection. The end of life is near. As older people, we stand on the threshold of death. We stand on the shores of eternity. And we must be ready. Now is salvation nearer than when we first believed. Romans 13 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul would write. But you see, if we will live righteously, Proverbs 16 and verse 31 says, this can still be an opportunity of blessing. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it's found in the way of righteousness. Growing old is not the time to say, I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. And I'm going to do what I want, say what I want, be what I want. No, it's a time, because death is approaching in a very real way, that we're found in the way of righteousness. So that there is honor and glory in these years to benefit to the glory of God and to those who are around us. So that we are not the burdensome person who filled with regret is bitter in heart and angry at the world, but rather in righteousness is able to impart blessings to those who are yet growing older themselves. In chapter 20 of Proverbs, in verse 29, the glory of the young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Now, the idea of splendor there with the gray hair is, of course, speaking to the dignity of age, to the wisdom that ought to accompany growing older. And so, dealing with the times of old age, whether it be physical decrease, solitude, the realities of life that's coming to an end, all of those things are real in the lives of older folks. And yet, these are not overwhelming discouragements. And so, how is it then that we deal with those things? How shall the old secure their hearts? Psalm 71, I believe, gives us a roadmap for that. I'd like to, for you to turn there with me, the 71st Psalm. And in the remainder of our time here mostly, let's see some things here that the psalmist himself, who is an aged person, has to say about being old and how he is to live before God and men. Let's read the first 7 verses together. It says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." And so in those first 8 verses, we have some insight given to us of this man and how his heart was secured, how his life was safe in God Almighty. The psalmist secured his heart by diligent prayer. Be diligent in prayer to secure, to anchor your heart in old age. You see that diligence just in the psalm itself, as this entire psalm is a petition made by the psalmist to God himself. Because you see, he is addressing the Lord, verse 1, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust." And so he petitions God for deliverance, for security, as we're going to note. He talks about God being a strong refuge for him, verse 3, and again in verse 7. So here's a man who is in need of protection. He needs that security that he knows God provides. And we'll see why that is the case here in just a moment as we go through more of the psalm. You see, prayer is the exercise and profession of our and expression of our faith. Verse 9, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age." So here's the man pleading to God, "God, don't throw me to the curb." Now, unfortunately, that's what some people do with people who are older. In the way, throw them to the curb, cast them away. God does not do that. And this man is confident God would not do that, even in his time of need. And again, an exhortation to us. How are we viewing, how are we treating those who are older? Are we giving them the due honor, respect, the protection and security that they need in their lives? For sure, God gives that. And as an older man and woman who is a Christian, we can put our confidence in praying to God, knowing He hears us, and knowing that He will respond to our prayers. Jesus taught a parable to the end that we ought always to pray and not lose heart, or do not faint Luke 18 and verse 1. Don't become discouraged. Keep praying. God hears. God answers. Philippians, the fourth chapter, that wonderful passage about prayer. And nothing be anxious. As he has already said in verse 4, to rejoice in the Lord always. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that which passes all or surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says your heart can be a wall can be built around your heart, a garrison that of protection and a confident peace, the peace that comes from God and having peace with God as God's people, to not be distracted, but rather in everything be prayerful, in everything petition and supplicate with gratitude. Prayer. If you want to secure your heart, older Christian, pray, pray, and pray. Recognize God continues to hear. He continues to respond and answer our prayers. And right along with that really is the matter of trust. Because after all, we pray to God because we trust in the Lord. Because we trust He hears and He answers. And this aged man was a man who trusted God. And you see that in those verses that we just read. Oh Lord, in you I put my trust. Verse 1. He did not put his trust in his strength, because as an aged man, that strength had failed him. He did not put his trust in others, because there are those who would cast him off. He did not put his trust in man to protect him, because we're going to read that there are those who were mistreating him. Drop down with me in this text to verses 9 through 11. And he points out something that unfortunately is true, is that there are those who are unscrupulous who take advantage of those who are elderly. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me. For those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Unfortunately, there are those who see the older man and woman as an easy target, as someone who can be scammed. Now, if you're on AARP's mailing list or a member, they're always warning about email scams or internet scams or telephone scams. Well, why do you suppose they're warning older folks about that? Well, because, you see, I think for one, you want to trust people. I don't know, I grew up being taught trust people. But in this world, it's difficult to do that. You have to protect yourself, because there are people who are going to take advantage of you, young or old, for that matter. Young or old. Well, God tells us to be wise in such matters. The reality is, we put our trust in God even when others mistreat us, young or old. He will not forsake us. He will not abandon us. He is not far away. Look at verse 9. We noted verse 9 already. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Look at verse 12. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. This aged man of faith knew God was near, but again he petitions Him, reminding us of what David said in Psalm 37:25. Now I was once young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The righteous are not forsaken by our God. We need to be among the righteous who put our trust and confidence in Him. He is not far away. Psalm 121, we have there on the chart. In verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So, how do you secure your heart? with a diligent trust and faith in God, even as those around you do not trust Him and might try to even take advantage of you. You keep your trust and faith in the Lord. How do you secure your heart? Continually hope in Him. Have your hope focused in the right place. You know, don't have your hope focused on the material things of the world. Don't have your hope focused on a reputation that you've built or maybe some other legacy you might attempt to provide. He says, set your hope on the Lord. Again, look at verse 14. I will hope continually. He said the same thing in verse 5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. So from youth to old age, you are my hope. I hope in you continually and will praise you yet more and more, verse 14 says. And we'll not take time to look at chapter 33. Psalm is full of such passages of putting our hope and confidence in the Lord. That's what we do as you grow old. That's how we secure our hearts, young or old, as the people of God. Wait on the Lord. Look at verse 19 of this psalm. Verse 19, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. Actually, he speaks of God's righteousness multiple times in this psalm. He anchors his trust in God upon the righteousness of God, that he is upright in all things. Your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You have shown me great and severe troubles. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Now see, here's this aged man whose body is weak, who evidently was surrounded at that time by enemies wanting to overwhelm him. And yet he said, God, you will increase my greatness. His hope is in the Lord, not in himself. He's in God, he is great, even though in the flesh he is weak. This is the encouragement. This is the security that we're talking about of being of securing our hearts even in old age as we rely upon him. You know, hope is desire and expectation. They come together and we call it hope. It's not just that we want to go to heaven, but we expect it because we're in Christ and we're living in Christ and we're serving Him and our trust is in the Lord. A lot of people want to go to heaven, they just don't want to go right now, right? As that song was, everyone wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to go now. Well, why not? But until that time, we keep our hope set on the Lord. Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 16 through 18 gives a striking description. As he's nearing death, he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering to the Lord. My life is near its end. And yet, he said, in my first defense, no one stood with me. He knew what isolation was. But all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me. See, the Lord didn't forsake him. Of course, he's now Paul the Aged, as he used that phrase in writing to Philemon. So that the message might be fully preached through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. And also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord was with him as he continued to do his work as an apostle of Christ. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever, amen. Paul knew he was about to die. It was coming. It was approaching. It was near. And yet he said, the Lord will deliver me. You see, for him, death wasn't the end. It was the beginning of entrance into the eternal kingdom. And this is our hope as Christians. This is our hope as we grow older. Is we're not approaching the end. We're approaching the beginning. This is what we've lived for. This is where our hope is. This is what sustains us to the end. And so it's not a time of despair, but of joy, rejoicing. Yes, affliction. Yes, trials. Yes, pain. All of those things that are temporary. Keep hope steadfast. That's what we do. You know, Simeon gives us an illustration or an example of what we're discussing. Look at that with me. Luke 2, Simeon, one of those minor characters in the Scriptures, and yet some very important lessons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Here is Simeon, who is waiting for the comfort, consolation, or hope of Israel. That's what he was living for, and God had promised him, you'll see it. And he did as he saw the child. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter said. So, growing old and approaching death is not the time of anxiety, it's the time of anticipated joy for those who are righteous. Now notice with me also this old man in Psalm 71 secured his heart by speaking of God's righteousness to others. In verses 15 and 16, he said, My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Again, he doesn't go in the strength of himself because he's aged. That strength has left him, but there's strength in the Lord, even at that moment. And he says, my mouth will tell of your righteousness. And he goes on in verse 19 to speak of the high and glorious nature of God's righteousness. And then again in verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. He would not stop talking about God, of God's word, of God's will, of the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. That God, as Moses said, teach us to number our days, to give us a heart of wisdom. The aged Christian can be an effective teacher of the will of God. Anna, the widow there in Luke chapter 2, Simeon and Anna, both in that chapter, both seeing the Christ child, both show this example of aged people of faith. She was a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She is married 7 years, and this woman was a widow about 84 years. So she's over 80 years old now. But she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for the redemption in Israel. Here is Anna who spoke of the redemption that God had promised. Here is a woman who's fasting. She's praying night and day. She's speaking of God's righteousness. You can do that. You can do that in different ways with neighbors. You can do that through correspondence. You can show that by your life. And specifically, let me note this real quick. This old man would tell the next generation of God's works. He would see the opportunity, because he was older, to now teach the next generation specifically. Verse 17 and 18. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. See, he was not absorbed with himself. But even in the last days of his life, he is thinking about those who are coming after him. He is interested in leaving a spiritual legacy. Psalm 78, 1 through 8, we won't have time to read that. But there's a passage teaching of how they were to teach the next generation of the will of God and the ways of God. Aged Christian, use your time, use your influence to teach your children, your grandchildren, the things of God. Specifically like this man. Talk of his wondrous works. Teach them about salvation. Teach them about overcoming sin. Teach them about encouraging others to follow and obey the gospel. Teach them of the mighty power of God, verse 18, of how God changes lives through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of how He changed your life and gave you a hope of the hope of heaven. That's how you secure your heart. You do this work even for the next generation. And as this aged man, he praised God always. He would continue to worship God. You know, that's one of Anna, remember her? She did not depart from the temple, fasting and praying always. It's such a joy and encouragement to see older Christians who continue to worship, stirring up their brethren for love and good works. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. In your example of faithful worship to God, you're securing your heart even unto the day of eternity. Let me quickly turn you to the New Testament. Our time is about out. But I'd like to note with you that even as we are older, there's a place for us in the kingdom. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 says, As each one has a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, you have a place in the kingdom. I want you to see it in Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. In Titus 2, 2 through 4, he speaks to the older men first. When he says, urging Titus, he says there to speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober. The idea of sober there is to be vigilant, reverent. That is honorable. You know, some people think when you get old, you've earned the right to say whatever you think, whenever you want to, however you want to. That's not the will of God. That's the wisdom of men. No. No. Older men, be sober and be reverent, be honorable, be temperate, which again speaks to that idea of moderation, sound in faith. Don't stray from the Word of God in love and in patience. You see, soundness is attributed to and expected of older Christian men, as it is older Christian women, he goes on to speak to. He says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in demeanor. That is, they live with the fitting deportment of their faith. Not slanderers. Not accusers of others, not gossips. He said, not enslaved to much wine. That is, self-control is to be a hallmark of the aged woman who is in Christ. Teachers of good things and earnestly exhorting the young women, teaching the young women as well as others. He says, teach them how to love their husbands and love their children. You see, whether you're young or you're old, you have a place in the kingdom. Old Christian man, old Christian woman, we still have a place. We still have work to do. We still have opportunities ahead of us. Because you see, we're assured by the Word of God that the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is our rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. If you're a young person, Put your faith in God now. Obey the gospel from this day forward. Be faithful to God, because you just don't know how old you will be. You don't know how many years you'll have. But if you're aging in the same way, now is the time to be reassured through faith that in doing God's will, through prayer, through trusting in Him, through a continual hope that speaks of God's righteousness and teaches others, teaches the next generation of His will, of setting an example of worship, that your place in the kingdom will abound to the glory of God as you assist others in serving Him as well. We hope that that will be the encouragement that we all receive from God's Word in these things today. And if you need to obey the gospel, we certainly want to encourage that of you. As we close this study, the invitation is always open, and it will be such at our next session as well. Thank you very much.